KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, we have a partly cloudy sky, and it's currently 37 degrees in Atlantic. I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, and the weather forecast for today is calling for it to be partly cloudy and windy with a high around 51. Winds northwest at 15 to 30 miles per hour. There is a wind advisory that goes into effect for majority of the listening area beginning at 9 o'clock, and that'll run through 7 p.m. Also, a red flag warning in effect from noon today until 7 p.m. for Fremont and Page counties. In area news, police in Creston report 62-year-old Rodney Cottrell of Creston was arrested Wednesday afternoon at his residence. Cottrell was taken into custody for possession of paraphernalia. He was subsequently cited and released on a summons to appear in court. Police in Omaha say a large gathering for a barbecue at an Omaha park, despite an order that limits crowds to fewer than 10 people, ended in a fatal shooting at around 9:30 p.m. Tuesday. One of the victims was a former Denison Schleswig athlete, 18-year-old Wow Gok, whose family came to the U.S. from Sudan, died at a local hospital after the shooting. Gok was a member of the football and track and field teams during his year at Denison Schleswig High School in Denison. That shooting happened around 9:30 p.m. on Tuesday in Benson Park, where police say three people were wounded. The victims were found in the park's parking lot and were taken to area hospitals. The other victims, including a 19-year-old woman and a 17-year-old girl, suffered injuries that were not believed to be life-threatening. Police say they had been called earlier to the park to break up a gathering of about 100 people. A 32-year-old Storm Lake man has been sentenced to 25 years in prison for sexually assaulting a young child. Nee Hotul was sentenced Wednesday in Buena Vista County District Court after he entered an Alford plea last month to second-degree sexual abuse, lascivious acts with a child, and assault with intent to commit sexual abuse. An Alford plea is one in which the defendant does not admit guilt but acknowledges that there is enough evidence to secure a conviction. Prosecutors say Hotul sexually abused a girl at least four times in 2016 and 2017, when she was 6 or 7 years old. Well, every year, the Urban Forestry Awards luncheon recognizes cities, college campuses, and utilities that demonstrate a variety of dedication to the importance of trees in their respective areas. All awards are presented on behalf of the Arbor Day Foundation and the Iowa Department of Natural Resources. This is the 30th year for the awards presentations. To qualify for the Tree City USA Award, a city must have either a city forester or an active Tree City Board, have a tree ordinance, spend at least $2 per capita annually for its community forestry program, and have a tree planting and maintenance plan. Among those cities receiving a 2020 award for Tree City USA was Atlantic, the 25th year in a row the city has won that award. Also Carroll, Clarinda, Council Bluffs, Denison, Glenwood, Harlan, Ottawa, Red Oak, Westphalia, and Winterset. Montgomery County Auditor and Commissioner of Elections Stephanie Burke is encouraging those wishing to vote in the June 2nd primary to vote absentee by mail due to the recent concerns with the coronavirus and COVID-19. Burke says Iowa's June 2nd primary election will go forward as planned, but I'm encouraging citizens to vote by mail. It's our continued effort to keep our Montgomery County community safe and healthy. And one way we're doing that, she says, is by mailing every registered voter in the county an absentee ballot request form. The auditor's office, Burke said, is currently working on the mailing, and registered voters in Montgomery County should be receiving their request in the near future if they haven't received them already. After the auditor's office receives the completed absentee request form, a ballot will be mailed when they're ready. Burke says, once you receive your ballot, vote it, sign it, and the postage paid return envelope and stick it in the mail, and you're done. It's that simple. Burke said also that voters are reminded that for the primary election, they must choose a political party on the request form in order to receive the current ballot. Iowa Secretary of State has recently announced that their office will also be mailing absentee ballot request forms at the end of this month. Our office, Burke said, already made the decision to do mass mailing and started the process before the Secretary of State's announcement, so we're going to continue with the mailing as planned. She said those of you that already returned a request form to the auditor's office for the primary election do not need to submit another. And absentee requests to vote by mail must be received in the auditor's office by no later than 5 p.m. on May 22nd. Officials at the Iowa Democratic Party on Wednesday announced an updated county convention process to be conducted remotely over the month of April. The updated non-present county convention gives county party leaders and options on how to conduct their convention, including online or by mail. From April 13th through the 17th, Iowans who are elected precinct delegates and alternates will register to participate in their remote county convention and will indicate their preferred ballot method online, over the phone, or by email. Elections for district and state delegates and county affirmative chairs will be conducted remotely from April 22nd to 30. County chairs will have the option to use a template plan or develop their own within the rules outlined in the updated DSP and convention process. The updated process is based on conversations with county chairs, the state central committee, and party leaders. The state party will work with county chairs, they say, to make sure they have the resources they need to be able to hold their convention within the parameters of this process and the overall goal of protecting public health. And per the state's party process, the changes to the delegate selection plan were approved unanimously by the state central committee, and the final plan incorporates feedback from county chairs who are in charge of implementing the next convention. Iowa Governor Kim Reynolds yesterday provided a status report on the number of COVID-19 cases to date as of 11 a.m. yesterday. And there were 97 new positive COVID-19 cases in Iowa over the past 24 hours from that date, for a total of 1,145. Worth County was added to the list of counties with positive COVID-19 cases, for a total of 79 out of Iowa's 99 counties. Reynolds said also that the IDPH had reported 1,151 negative COVID-19 test results, for a total of 12,821. The state hygienic lab, she said, has the capability of testing 1,329 individuals. The number of hospitalized COVID-19 patients was 122 as of yesterday. Those who are recovering at home, number 431, or 38% of those who have tested positive. One person over the age of 81 from Linn County has died from the virus. And Reynolds says that currently we're leveraging state and federal assistance to provide much-needed relief to Iowa workers and businesses now and help get them through this challenging time till we're fully open for business again.
2 weeks ago, we announced the Small Business Relief Program, a one-stop shop for Iowa businesses to seek assistance through tax deferral, including sales and withholding taxes, and grants to assist with short-term cash flow needs. Since then, the Iowa Department of Revenue has received 5,700 tax deferral applications and expects to approve another 2,300 this week while continuing to review the rest. All applicants in good standing with the Iowa Department of Revenue will be approved and notified by mail.
Reynolds said that when a deferral is granted, taxpayers will have 60 days from the original due date to pay their balance due. Penalties and interest will be waived for those 60 days. The application process remains open through April, and originally announced in late May as a pot of $4 million, Iowa Economic Development Authority Director Debbie Durham says her agency intends to send $24 million worth of grants to eligible businesses.
Our small businesses are the backbone of our communities, and we are working closely with the governor to leverage resources to assist as many of them as possible.
Nearly 14,000 small businesses applied for state grants. Durham says 503 of them were notified late Tuesday by email that their grant applications have been accepted.
Every application received was triaged, and I use this word very purposefully because triage actually describes this entire effort and this entire process. We determined eligibility, and the businesses identifying the greatest revenue disruption were awarded in this first round of funding that went out last evening.
And Governor Reynolds said the first batch of businesses notified overnight were primarily bars, restaurants, and breweries, who were among the first businesses she ordered closed due to the COVID-19 pandemic.
You know, there is absolutely no playbook for the situation that we're in right now.
More small businesses around the state will be notified over the next couple of days, but Durham did not reveal how many businesses in total will get grants. She did say the program was designed as short-term stopgap relief until the federal aid came through. A second round of applications for those particular grants will not be opened, according to Durham, but Durham says there may be other programs available in the future for small business owners who applied but who do not receive the grants this week.
Our team at the Iowa Economic Development Authority has been working tirelessly behind the scenes to assist as many of our small businesses as possible.
And more than 5,700 Iowa businesses have applied to the Iowa Department of Revenue to defer their tax payments to the state for a couple of months. A state website, iowabusinessrecovery.com, lists a number of applications, programs, and resources for businesses navigating through the COVID downturn. And finally, in area news, there is a national shortage of commercially produced PPE, that's personal protective equipment. Public and private officials are working to address national and global supply challenges. Due to the current limitations on supplies of disposable and cloth gowns, there may come a time during this response when commercially manufactured gowns are no longer readily available. Iowans who would like to support healthcare providers can use this guidance document to construct homemade washable cloth gowns that can be worn by Iowa healthcare providers during patient care. There will be a link to the patterns in the same story on our news page. Homemade washable cloth gowns are typically made of polyester or polyester cotton fabrics. Gowns made of those fabrics can be safely laundered using routine procedures and reused. Cass County Emergency Management Coordinator Mike Cannon said residents who would like to donate homemade gowns need to call Cass County Public Health at 243-7552 or Cass County EMA at 243-1500. It'll be provided guidance on where to drop off locations, and there are many different patterns available on the internet. So again, choose one that meets the specification on the links that are in the same story on the news page at KJAN.com. That's a check of the news on KJAN. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.